Since the time I first saw your glory, O Samhain, the very thought of you makes me like Majanu. This is Master Kripal's bhajan, Deka He Jabase Hamane, page 5. Every hair and pore of my body is singing your song. Not only individuals, but all people of the Lord, all countries, all mystics, recognize your greatness. Since the time I first saw your glory, O Samhain, the very thought of you makes me like Majanu. Deka He Jabase Hamane, page 5.
Deka He Jabase Hamane, Samhain Jamal Tera, Samhain Jamal Tera, Samhain Jamal Tera. Majnu bana raha hai, mujhko khayal tera, mujhko khayal tera, mujhko khayal tera. Dekha hai jaise humne Samhain Jamal Tera, Samhain Jamal Tera, Samhain Jamal Tera. Majnu bana raha hai, mujhko khayal tera, mujhko khayal tera. Mujhko khayal tera, har geet ga raha hai, har baal baal tera, har baal baal tera, har baal baal tera. Har geet ga raha hai, har baal baal tera, har baal baal tera, har baal baal tera. Dekha hai jaise humne Samhain Jamal Tera, Samhain Jamal Tera, Samhain Jamal Tera. Bajnu bana raha hai, mujhko khayal tera, mujhko khayal tera, mujhko khayal tera. Banda tu cheez kiya hai, har jaan har mula kare, mana kamal tera, Samhain Jamal Tera. Banda tu cheez kiya hai, har jaan har mula kare, mana kamal tera, Samhain Jamal Tera. Dekha hai jaise humne Samhain Jamal Tera, Samhain Jamal Tera, Samhain Jamal Tera. Majnu bana raha hai, mujhko khayal tera, mujhko khayal tera, mujhko khayal tera.
Since the time I first saw your glory, O Samhain, the very thought of you makes me like Majnu. In 3 weeks from now, there will be a one-day meditation retreat celebrating the founding of Santbani Ashram and Master Kripal's first visit to Santbani. It'll be all day Saturday, October 12th. Initiates and sincere seekers are welcome to attend any of the meditation sittings. Local initiates, if you want to take meals, please let us know in advance so we'll have an idea of who or how many to cook for. And any guests who need amit, who need overnight accommodations, again, please let the ashram know well ahead of time. So you can do the sign up using the email link, which was sent to everybody this past Friday. This greatly helps with our planning. And finally, everyone coming to satsang on Sundays or to retreats should please park at the school. Please save spots at the big house and especially up near the hall for those who need to be closer. Thank you. So we're continuing in Russell's book, Stumbling Toward God, The Years with Ajaib. This section is titled, The Greatest Sin of All. This is a talk that Russell gave on his return from India. This is on January 11th, 1987. So, Russell writes, this was quite a trip. It's hard when you've been touched by grace to explain it or even to talk about it. Sometimes it's easier than other times. For me, the past few trips have been largely meditation times, and the main things that happened in the meditation hall. But this time, it was a different kind of thing, although I certainly meditated a lot, and I loved it. It was a question of the grace of God and the healing that comes when the grace of God is brought to bear on any individual. I went in a very battered state. I mentioned before I left that this was a very difficult year for me. I too can be very wrong about things. I can be mistaken. I can get into bad frames of mind, and I can get discouraged, even depressed. These things happen to me as much as to anyone. And when I arrived, I was met, from the first night right through until the final morning, with the forgiveness and mercy and grace and love of God. It was moving around in the human body of Sanchi, but it wasn't confined to that body, it was everywhere. As usual, I found the underground room experience to be the lens through which the whole trip becomes meaningful in retrospect. Not, of course, while it's going on. Each moment is meaningful while it's going on. This time, more than ever, when I went down the stairs to the underground room, it was very clear to me that I was walking down the stairs into my own self. The underground room has seemed all along to be a metaphor for the descent into the abyss of what we are. And at the centermost part of it, there we find that which we have been yearning for and longing for. Kent mentioned the bench in that room on which Sanchi meditated in his talk a month ago, that we don't have the Bo tree that the Buddha sat under, and Jesus meditated in the desert, but we don't have any tangible reminder of that. Yet there is that bench, which is the equivalent in our day of those things. And it is our great grace, I would say, to be able to go down into the place where it is located and partake of what happened there. Somehow, Sanchi makes that possible. I don't know exactly how it works, but When we go down into that room, after having done our best, God knows compared to what is required, it may be pathetic, but from our point of view, everyone was doing their best. And after 10 days of doing our best, we are allowed to participate in that descent. I come away shaking with awe at what has been given to me. And I still feel that way when I think of what Sanchi has given to me in the course of the last few days. Sanchi gave a series of satsangs, which, if we called them extraordinary, would be understating the reality by about 1,000 miles. I feel a very strong connection to that series of talks. I loved them in a way that's hard to explain. They were different from his usual satsangs. He was, in effect, writing the first 8 chapters of a book. And a footnote says that book was eventually published as In the Palace of Love. It's a commentary on the Asiji Divars, which is a section of the Guru Granth Sahib mostly written by Guru Nanak. Each commentary was preceded by a long introduction in which he summed up and anticipated the main message of that section of the hymns. I found the artistic quality of the satsangs extremely satisfying. The care and the consciousness with which the talks were given was very moving to me. These satsangs moved me in a very special way, and I think that this book that's being written will be, up to now, Sanchi's definitive book, and probably the best book on the path that will be available. It's a remarkable combination of very basic, essential ideas and very profound application of those ideas. And some very surprising things were said. The thing that affected me most, which I've not stopped thinking about since the night he said it, was when he defined the greatest sin of all. I don't know what other people were thinking, but I was thinking, well, we can make a good guess as to what the greatest sin of all is. We know the most dangerous of the 5 passions are lust and anger. And we know about criticizing others. Surely it's going to fall into one of those categories. But it didn't. It was a total surprise to me. He said it in the context of repeating something that he had said many years ago at 77 RB, but I never knew it then. He said, "The greatest sin of all is to be afraid." I thought about it and I thought about it. The self-evident truth of it took root and illuminated large areas of my own experience on the path, which had remained shrouded. The greatest sin of all is to be afraid. I saw, sure, why don't we obey? We don't obey because we're afraid. Why don't we live up to our own highest truths? Because we're afraid. We're afraid of what other people might have to say. We're afraid of the consequences. We are afraid, in some cases, of the equivalent of jumping off the cliff, which the Master certainly demands in meditation and sometimes in outer life, too. Ever since he said that, I have run across a continual reinforcement of that statement in other sources, which I would like to share. They're very brief. That night, the night that Sanchi had said this, I was reading at the ashram from the writings of Thomas Merton, the famous Roman Catholic monk. And he says, "It takes more courage than we imagine to be perfectly simple with other men. Our frankness is often spoiled by a hidden barbarity born of fear. False sincerity has much to say because it is afraid. True candor can afford to be silent. It does not need to face an anticipated attack. Anything it may have to defend can be defended with perfect simplicity. Fear is perhaps the greatest enemy of candor. How many men fear to follow their conscience because they would rather conform to the opinion of other men than to the truth that they know in their hearts? How can I be sincere if I'm constantly changing my mind to conform with the shadow of what I think others expect of me? Others have no right to demand that I be anything else than what I ought to be in the sight of God. No greater thing could possibly be asked of someone than this. This one just expectation, which I am bound to fulfill, is precisely the one that they usually do not expect me to fulfill. They want me to be what I am in their sight, that is, an extension of themselves. They do not realize that if I am fully myself, my life will become the completion and the fulfillment of their own, but that if I merely live as their shadow, I will serve only to remind them of their own unfulfillment. And then a few days later, in the same book by the same writer, at the root of all war is fear. Not so much the fear that men have of one another as the fear they have of everything. It is not merely that they do not trust one another. They do not even trust themselves. If they are not sure when someone else may turn around and kill them, they are still less sure when they may turn around and kill themselves. They cannot trust anything because they have ceased to believe in God. It is not only our hatred of others that is dangerous, but also, and above all, our hatred of ourselves. Particularly, that hatred of ourselves that is too deep and too powerful to be consciously faced. For it is this that makes us see our own evil in others and unable to see it in ourselves. And then, after returning home, I found this in the writings of Dorothy Day, another great Catholic mystic of this century, whose life has meant a great deal to me, speaking of people who are doing their best. They learn not only to love with compassion, but to overcome fear, that dangerous emotion that precipitates violence. They may go on feeling fear, but they have grown the means in faith to overcome it. And I know from my own self, when I have obeyed the Master and done what he wanted me to, it was despite my fear. And when I have disobeyed him and been unworthy and done less than he wanted me to do, it was because of my fear. The celebrated instance that I've talked about so often, when Master Kripal told me to weed out 10 from the people being initiated when he was here in 1972, well, that fits exactly into the category that Merton was talking about. And there's a footnote there, which tells me where that story is recounted, and I want to read it. This is from Russell's first book, Stumbling Toward God, The Years with Kripal. And here, Russell writes, the Master gave initiation the next morning. That's the morning after Master's final satsang talk here in 72. The master gave initiation the next morning. He had instructed me to screen and prepare potential initiates all week long, and I had been doing so. About 25 persons had been accepted for initiation, and we set aside the main room in the big house for the initiation, leaving the hall for everyone else to meditate in. But when I arrived at the big house on the morning scheduled, I found that the number had doubled overnight. Not only were most of these persons unknown to me, they hadn't been screened, and some of them had very little idea of what they were doing, but the capacity of the room reserved for the purpose was nowhere near big enough to handle 50 persons. The fact was that Mr. Khanna and Reno Serene, who were the master's principal representatives, had strong views about this screening, and they were just offering the initiation to anyone, and they were accepting all. I didn't feel that I was in a position to object, but I really didn't know what to do about the space problem. If we use the hall for initiation, which was one obvious solution, where would everybody else meditate? So I ran down to the master's house and explained the situation to him. We were in the living room of the master's house, both standing, and when I finished, he stood there for a few minutes, looking at me, his eyes twinkling. Finally, he said, "Weed out 10. I stared at him, not comprehending, and he repeated, a bit sharply, "Weed out 10. There are too many." And I blurted out, "You want me to weed out 10 of them, Master?" And he said, "Yes, surely." Suddenly, I had a mental picture of myself explaining to Mr. Khanna and Mr. Serene that I had been told to weed out 10 of the very people that they had been so actively encouraging to be initiated. And I laughed. I laughed long and loud, and it was a laugh of disobedience. For with that laugh, I made a choice. I decided not to do what the master had told me to do. It would, of course, have been very difficult for me to have done it, and again, it might well have been misunderstood by others as some kind of an ego trip. So I took the easy course, and I disobeyed. And Master watched me, laughing. Very closely he watched for a few minutes, and then he also laughed. I did not feel that he was especially surprised or angry at my disobedience. In fact, I doubt that he expected anything different. But when he finished laughing, he said, "Use the hall for the initiation. It doesn't matter about the others. They don't have to meditate this morning." So the matter was settled. I'd got what I came for, and I went up and I arranged for the initiation to be given in the hall. But many, many times since that day, especially when I have felt content with myself, complacent, like a good, obedient disciple, worthy of being emulated by others, I remember very clearly the master standing there, saying, "Weed out 10, and me laughing and refusing to do it. And I know that I do not have even the beginning of an inkling of what obedience means or what is meant by self-surrender." And that's the account of the story he was referring to. And I knew that that fit exactly into the category that Merton was talking about. I was afraid of what other people would say, that fear was so enormous that it did not even occur to me to trust the master and to jump off the cliff. It was totally beyond my capacity to do that. And I saw, And I still see, and I hope I never stop seeing, how fear works in those ways and how we allow it to whittle ourselves down and become less than we ought to be. And we will leave off there. And we'll return to Master Kripal's talk in Chicago in 1972, the talk published in the February 1973 Satsandesh called Little, Little Things. Master has been listing a number of things that are helpful on the path and hurtful to us on the path. So Master says, another thing, forget the past and forget the future. What has happened already, that cannot be mended. You may have a lesson from that, but that's all. And forget the future. Oh, we'll do this, we'll do that, like that. These are two spikes, I would say, eating into the veins of our lives. Live in the living present. Whatever stones you lay down, that building will come up. As you sow, so shall you reap. What you have sown already, that must be reaped. So just live in the living present. You'll have no burdens. Your mind will be free. Now our mind is overburdened with thoughts of the past and of the future, what we will do. Just thank God we have what we have. We have earned it by sowing the seeds thereof, and we are still earning. Whether you are happy with whatever comes up or not, just finish it. Those seeds were sown by your own self in the past, about which you do not know. So just do your best and leave the rest to God overhead. And one more thing I will tell you. If you have got a watch, you wind it up every morning, do you not? Back in 1972, you had to wind up your watches. And then it goes on for 24 hours, just going on, with no interruption. So every morning, wind up the watch of your mind. Sit and devote time to your practices. Come in contact with light and sound within. Then you will get strength, because that is the bread of life and the water of life. That will give you freshness, vigor, strength to work with all through the day, and you will be quite buoyant and fresh. And at night, before going to sleep also, wind up the watch. These are constructive things that will help you. The other things, which stand as impediments on the way, I have also put before you. But these things I've spoken of, they are no new things. Well, dear friends, what I have submitted, does it appeal to you? Do you want to be fresh and buoyant, not brooding over anything? Then wind your watch daily every morning. You'll get strength. The water of life and bread of life will give strength to your soul. And when the soul is strong, all other things get strength, you see? Your mind, your outgoing faculties, your body also. You will find that when wrestlers do exercises, they put their whole attention on the body, and that attention gives them strength. One example I may submit to you, you may have seen this point. When you are very tired and hungry, you take a morsel of food and drink water, you get strength. Where does that strength come from? Strength from the food comes only after it is digested, not all at once. It is your soul, your own self. Soul has great curative power. You are soul. You are sons of God. Great is man. So these are little things that we've never cared for, you see? But with them, we can make our life sublime. But there should be some ideal before us. We are adrift, aimlessly adrift. That's the pity. We dig pits, here, there, everywhere. Some 5 feet deep, some 7 feet deep, some 6 feet deep. Water nowhere. So I submit to each one of you that you must decide your aim. It may cost you a day, 3 days, 7 days, never mind. Once you have decided, then you are going step by step to your goal. Some go 1 foot ahead and then go back, then go ahead, then go back. That takes time, of course. When I entered the world, I had great ambition also, ambition of life, etc. But I had to decide, and with the grace of God, it was decided, God first, world next. Then everything goes on in a constructive way to help you. So we are aimlessly adrift. These are the things that we don't observe. We follow with eyes closed. I would say, headlong down without caring what the result will be. Man can change, you see. This is your right as man because you've got discrimination. You are not animals. Animals can also be very helpful when you train them, but man is free, you see, within certain limits. So as I told you, wind your watch daily, quietly. You'll be fresh every day. You may have too much to do, but still, when you are set, you are fresh. So these are some of the impediments on the way, and some constructive things which will help you. In all your affairs of life, outside and inner too, in the spiritual way too. What will you get if you reform your own self? Godhead, which is your hereditary right. These little things make men great. Ultimately, greatness lies with that which you have been put on. You're very fortunate that you have been put on the way and given something to start with. So why not wind up daily? Come in contact with that. And that is the bread of life and the water of life that has fortunately been given to you. You are more fortunate, those who have been put on the way, more fortunate than others in the world. Christ said, "Those who follow my words, they are my disciples. Those who take their cross daily, they are my disciples." Taking cross means rising above body consciousness. So every day morning, wind up your watch. These are the helping factors, and these are the impediments on the way. This is why it is said, truth is above all, and true living is still above truth. We care little about the true life. Even if we do something, it doesn't give us full fruit. So please, you have been put on the way with the grace of God, working as a result of the greatness of our Master, Baba Sawan Singh. It is his grace that is working. You know that it's raining outside. Ever since I have come, it has been raining. The word Sawan means the rainy month. And generally, wherever I go, the rains come first. That is his grace working. All credit goes to him. And what little I have come to know, I have put before you in a few words. So, don't give food to your body until you give food to your soul. That's first thing. Make it a point. And to enable you to progress on the way, you must go by these things. True living is above truth. Tomorrow, I might be leaving physically because I'm going round as my master wishes, the God in him. I may not be physically with you, but my thoughts are with you. That Christ power or God power is always in you, working always for your best interests, and extending all feasible help and assistance and protection. So remain in contact. Go by what I have given you in these few words. God will bless you all. That's all I can say. So remain in contact. Don't be led away by what you hear outside, unless you hear for your own self or see with your own eyes. So you are all children of God. Children are always dear to the Father, you see. You are all dear to the God who is also residing within us. And you are dear to me as well. And you should progress from day to day. I wish you all to become ambassadors. Better even than me, I would say. Every father wants his children to be more competent, more able than himself. So these are my few words. Tomorrow I will be leaving physically only. That power within you will be helping you and extending all protection. Remain in contact. That is all I have to say. So you see, you are fortunate to see me, but I am more fortunate than you, because you have seen only one, but I have seen all of you. Am I not more fortunate? So love beautifies everything, and thanks to those who are crusading with me, conveying this message to the people at large. It is his work. Credit goes to God and to our master. And that ends that satsang. And we'll continue with a satsang that Sanchi gave here, July 27, 1996. And this was published in the July 1998 Santbani, called The Pages of Our Heart.
ਇਹ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਦਇਆ ਸੀ ਮੈਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਮੁਸ਼ਕਾਨ ਨੂੰ ਅਜੇ ਵੀ ਆਪਦੇ ਸਾਥ ਲਈ ਫਿਰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਇਹ ਉਸੇ ਦੀ ਦੇਣ ਹੈ ਜਦ ਤੱਕ ਸੂਰਜ ਚੰਦਰਮਾ ਸਤਾਰੇ ਕਾਇਮ ਹੈ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਰੂਪ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਸਦਾ ਹੀ ਕਾਇਮ ਹੈ ਇਹ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਜੋ ਮਿਲਿਆ ਹੈ ਇਹ ਸਾਵਣ ਦਾ ਹੀ ਵਾਕ ਸੀ ਕਿ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਘਰ ਬੈਠੇ ਨੂੰ ਆ ਕੇ ਮਿਲੇਗਾ ਸੱਚ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਵਕਤ ਆਉਣ ਤੋਂ ਘਰ ਹੀ ਬੈਠਾ ਨੂੰ ਆ ਕੇ ਮਿਲਿਆ
ਹੀ ਵਾਸ ਗਿਵਨ ਦੈਟ ਸਮਾਈਲ ਬਾਈ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਵਨ ਸਿੰਘ ਕੁਡ ਨਾਟ ਫਰਗੈਟ ਇਟ ਆਲ ਇਸ ਲਾਈਫ ਆਈ ਵਾਸ ਆਲਸੋ ਫੋਰਚੁਨੇਟ ਵਨ ਟੂ ਗੈਟ ਦੈਟ ਸਮਾਈਲ ਆਫ ਬਾਬਾ ਸਾਵਨ ਸਿੰਘ ਐਂਡ ਆਈ ਸਟਿਲ ਰਿਮੈਂਬਰ ਦੈਟ ਆਈ ਕੈਨੋਟ ਫਰਗੈਟ ਇਟ ਹੀ ਹਿਮਸੈਲਫ ਗੇਵ ਅਸ ਦ ਗਿਫਟ ਆਫ ਇਮੋਰਟਲ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਵਾਸ ਗਿਵਨ ਟੂ ਅਸ ਬਾਈ no one else other than Baba Sawan Singh. It was the words of Master Sawan Singh. He had said that he who has to give you the thing will come to your home by himself. So, proving his words, making his words come true, Master Kripal Singh himself came to see me. He himself found me. So, it was the gift of Master Sawan Singh that we got immortal Kripal.
Maharaj Sawan Singh, ਸਤਸੰਗ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਕਦੇ ਕਦੇ ਬੜੇ ਪਿਆਰ ਭਰੇ ਲਹਿਜੇ 'ਚ ਆ ਕੇ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀਗੇ ਬਈ ਮੈਂ ਜੱਟ ਹੈ ਜੱਟ ਜੇ ਛੋਟ ਕਰੇ ਤਦ ਵੀ ਜ਼ਿਆਦਾ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ ਜੇ ਇਹ ਕਰੜਾ ਹੋ ਜਾਵੇ ਅਤੇ ਜੱਟ ਜਿੰਨਾ ਕਰੜਾ ਵੀ ਕੋਈ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਗਾ। ਫਿਰ ਉਹ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਮਸ਼ਰਾਓ ਨਾ। ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਸਿੰਘ ਅਕਾਊਂਟੈਂਟ ਸੀਗੇ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਇਹ ਹੈ ਬਈ ਪਾਈ ਕੱਟੀ ਅਤੇ ਕੱਟੀ ਕਿਉਂ, ਹਿਸਾਬ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਵਧੀ ਅਤੇ ਵਧੀ ਕਿਉਂ। ਉਹ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਸੰਦੇਸ਼ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਬਈ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਨਾ ਤੜਕ ਹੋ ਕੇ ਬਿਨਾਂ ਰੁਕੇ ਕਰੋ, ਮੰਜ਼ਿਲ 'ਤੇ ਖੁਦ ਹੀ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਲੈ ਜਾਏਗਾ।
ਮੈਨੀ ਟਾਈਮਸ ਇਨ ਅ ਵੈਰੀ ਗੁੱਡ ਲਵਿੰਗ ਸਟਾਈਲ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਵਨ ਸਿੰਘ ਜੀ ਇਨ ਹਿਸ ਸਤਸੰਗ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਆਈ ਐਮ ਅ ਫਾਰਮਰ ਐਂਡ ਇਫ ਦ ਫਾਰਮਰ ਗਿਵਸ ਯੂ ਦੀ ਕੰਸੈਸ਼ਨ ਇਟ ਕੈਨ ਬੀ ਟੂ ਮਚ ਐਂਡ ਇਫ ਦ ਫਾਰਮਰ ਬਿਕਮ ਸਟ੍ਰਿਕਟ ਹੀ ਕੈਨ ਬੀ ਟੂ ਸਟ੍ਰਿਕਟ ਸੋ ਦੈਟ ਇਜ਼ ਵਾਈ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਵਨ ਸਿੰਘ ਜੀ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਡੋਂਟ try my patience because I am a farmer and I can be either too lenient or too strict. Master Kripal Singh ji, as you know, was an accountant and he used to say that I am an accountant and if one penny is less, tell me why it is less. If there is one penny more, tell me why it is more. So in this bhajan, Master Kripal Singh says that we should continue doing our simran wholeheartedly. Because if we will continue doing our simran, then this simran will take us to our destination.
Haan bhai, hun bolo bolne.
Kirpal yahi sandesha deta, hawa yahi sikhlati hai, simran karte chale chalo to, ਮੰਜ਼ਿਲ ਖੁਦ ਮਿਲ ਜਾਤੀ ਹੈ। ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਯਹੀ ਸੰਦੇਸ਼ਾ ਦੇਤਾ, ਹਵਾ ਯਹੀ ਸਿਖਲਾਤੀ ਹੈ, ਸਿਮਰਨ ਕਰਤੇ ਚਲੇ ਚਲੋ ਤੋ, ਮੰਜ਼ਿਲ ਖੁਦ ਮਿਲ ਜਾਤੀ ਹੈ। ਛਲ ਫਰੇਬ ਕੇ ਕਿਲੇ ਏਕ ਦਿਨ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਮੇ ਡਹਿ ਜਾਤੇ ਹੈ, ਛਲ ਫਰੇਬ ਕੇ ਕਿਲੇ ਏਕ ਦਿਨ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਮੇ ਡਹਿ ਜਾਤੇ ਹੈ, ਰੇਤੋਂ ਕੀ ਦੀਵਾਰ ਦੇਰ ਤੱਕ ਕਭੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਟਿਕ ਪਾਤੀ ਹੈ, ਰੇਤੋਂ ਕੀ ਦੀਵਾਰ ਦੇਰ ਤੱਕ ਕਭੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਟਿਕ ਪਾਤੀ ਹੈ, ਸਿਮਰਨ ਕਰਤੇ ਚਲੇ ਚਲੋ ਤੋ, ਮੰਜ਼ਿਲ ਖੁਦ ਮਿਲ ਜਾਤੀ ਹੈ। ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਯਹੀ ਸੰਦੇਸ਼ਾ ਦੇਤਾ, ਹਵਾ ਯਹੀ ਸਿਖਲਾਤੀ ਹੈ, ਇਤਨੇ ਸਾਰੇ ਪਾਪ ਸਾਥ ਮੇ, ਇਤਨੇ ਸਾਰੇ ਪਾਪੀ ਹੈ, ਇਤਨੇ ਸਾਰੇ ਪਾਪ ਸਾਥ ਮੇ, ਇਤਨੇ ਸਾਰੇ ਪਾਪੀ ਹੈ, ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਤਾਕਤ ਤੇਰੀ ਜੈ ਹੋ, ਸਭ ਕਾ ਭਾਰ ਉਠਾਤੀ ਹੈ, ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਤਾਕਤ ਤੇਰੀ ਜੈ ਹੋ, ਸਭ ਕਾ ਭਾਰ ਉਠਾਤੀ ਹੈ, ਸਿਮਰਨ ਕਰਤੇ ਚਲੇ ਚਲੋ ਤੋ, ਮੰਜ਼ਿਲ ਖੁਦ ਮਿਲ ਜਾਤੀ ਹੈ। ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਯਹੀ ਸੰਦੇਸ਼ਾ ਦੇਤਾ, ਹਵਾ ਯਹੀ ਸਿਖਲਾਤੀ ਹੈ, ਸਿਮਰਨ ਕਰਤੇ ਚਲੇ ਚਲੋ ਤੋ, ਮੰਜ਼ਿਲ ਖੁਦ ਮਿਲ ਜਾਤੀ ਹੈ। ਨਾ ਕੋਈ ਵੈਰੀ ਨਾਹੀਂ ਬੇਗਾਨਾ, ਜੋ ਵੀ ਹੈ ਸਭ ਆਪਣਾ ਹੈ, ਨਾ ਕੋਈ ਵੈਰੀ ਨਾਹੀਂ ਬੇਗਾਨਾ, जो भी है सब अपना है, एक नूर से सब जग उपजो, गुरु बाणी बतलाती है। एक नूर से सब जग उपजो, गुरुबाणी बतलाती है। सिमरन करते चले चलो तो मंजिल खुद मिल जाती है। कृपाल यही संदेशा दे, गुरु कृपाल तुम्हारी उंगली थाम रखी है जिसने भी, गुरु कृपाल तुम्हारी उंगली थाम रखी है जिसने भी, उसके आगे काल कांपता और मौत घबराती है। अजैब कृपाल तो मंगला माफी, अजैब कृपाल तो मंगला माफी, जे जिंदड़ी सुख चाहती है। सिमरन करते चले चलो तो मंजिल खुद मिल जाती है। कृपाल यही संदेशा देता, हवा यही सिखलाती है। सिमरन करते चले चलो तो मंजिल खुद मिल झूठी दुनिया च फसेया, दिल मेरा कोई आके बंधन तोड़ गया। लखवारी ओ जी सदके जेड़ा सुरत शब्द नू जोड़ गया। झूठी दुनिया च फसेया, दिल मेरा कोई आके बंधन तोड़ गया। लखवारी ओ जी सदके जेड़ा सुरत शब्द नू जोड़ गया। भटके दुनिया विच रू मेरी, भटके दुनिया विच रू मेरी, मिलया ना कोई दर्दी, फसी फसाई दुनिया दे विच, दुनिया है बेदर्दी। फुल के रसता औजड़ पै गई, फुल के रसता औजड़ पै गई, रस्ते वल मुँह मोड़ गया। लखवारी ओ जी सदके जेड़ा सुरत शब्द नू जोड़ गया। छोटी दुनिया च फसेया, दिल मेरा कोई आके बंधन तोड़ गया। लखवारी ओ जी सदके जेड़ा सुरत शब्द नू जोड़ गया। मैं मूरख पापण हत्यारी, मैं मूरख पापण हत्यारी, ऐबां दे विच अड़ गई, याद प्रभु दी भुल गई मैं, हेठ पापां दे दड़ गई। तरस मेरे ते
ਕੀਤਾਇਆ ਕੇ ਤਰਸ ਮੇਰੇ ਤੇ ਕੀਤਾਇਆ ਕੇ ਕਾਲ ਦੇ ਸੰਗਲ ਤੋੜ ਗਿਆ ਲੱਖ ਵਾਰੀ ਓ ਜੀ ਸਦਕੇ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸੁਰਤ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨੂੰ ਜੋੜ ਗਿਆ ਝੂਠੀ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਚ ਫਸਿਆ ਦਿਲ ਮੇਰਾ ਕੋਈ ਆ ਕੇ ਬੰਧਨ ਤੋੜ ਗਿਆ ਲੱਖ ਵਾਰੀ ਓ ਜੀ ਸਦਕੇ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸੁਰਤ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨੂੰ ਜੋੜ ਗਿਆ ਮੈਂ ਅਣਜਾਣ ਨਾ ਕੁਛ ਵੀ ਜਾਣਾ ਮੈਂ ਅਣਜਾਣ ਨਾ ਕੁਛ ਵੀ ਜਾਣਾ ਮੈਂ ਤੱਕੇ ਕਾਂਦੀ ਫਿਰਦੀ ਮਿਲ ਜਾਏ ਤਾਂਗ ਦਿਲਾਂ ਵਿੱਚ ਚਿਰ ਦੀ ਰੂਹ ਅਜਾਇਬ ਦੀ ਘਰ ਤੋਂ ਭੁੱਲ ਗਈ ਰੂਹ ਅਜਾਇਬ ਦੀ ਘਰ ਤੋਂ ਭੁੱਲ ਗਈ ਫੜ ਕੇ ਘਰ ਨੂੰ ਮੋੜ ਗਿਆ ਲੱਖ ਵਾਰੀ ਓ ਜੀ ਸਦਕੇ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸੁਰਤ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨੂੰ ਜੋੜ ਗਿਆ ਝੂਠੀ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਚ ਫਸਿਆ ਦਿਲ ਮੇਰਾ ਕੋਈ ਆ ਕੇ ਬੰਧਨ ਤੋੜ ਗਿਆ ਲੱਖ ਵਾਰੀ ਓ ਜੀ ਸਦਕੇ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸੁਰਤ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨੂੰ ਜੋੜ ਗਿਆ
And we will conclude our satsang with Mastanaji's bhajan on page 9, Mera Satguru Pritam Apyara. Oh, my dearly beloved Satguru, I have forgotten your name. I am your soul, O Satguru. You are my dear father. I don't know how I was separated from you. Many ages have passed, O Emperor. I came promising to meditate, but how did I become involved in births and deaths? Please clear up this illusion, O Emperor. Kal, the negative power, entrapped me in the cage of the three worlds. He imprisoned me with the chains of good and bad deeds, O Emperor. Many thousands of ages have been passed in worshipping idols and going to temples. If there is any discoverer of God, may he unite me with him who is sitting within me, O Emperor. My soul is tied up in the 84 lakhs of births and deaths. I'm tired doing all rites and rituals. I've bathed in the places of pilgrimage, O Emperor. Above Satluk, there are the limitless regions of Alak, Anami, and Agam. Mastanaji says, take the medicine. Our doctor has arrived, O Emperor. O my dearly beloved Satguru, I have forgotten your name. Mera Satguru Pritam Apyara, page 9.
Mera Satguru Pritam Apyara, me bhul gaye naam tumhara. Mera Satguru Pritam Pyara, me bhul gaye naam tumhara. Mehu atma teri Satguru tu mera pita pyara. Mehu atma teri Satguru tu mera pita pyara. Kese tumse vichad gaye mujh vit gaya juga sar shehnasha vit gaya juga sar मेरा सतगुरु प्रीतम प्यारा, मैं भूल गई नाम तुम्हारा। मेरा सतगुरु प्रीतम प्यारा, मैं भूल गई नाम तुम्हारा। भजन करने को आई थी मैं करके को किरारा, भजन करने को आई थी मैं करके को किरारा। जन्म मरण में कैसे फंस गई मैं तो, परमहमार शहनशाह मैं तो परमहमारा। मेरा सतगुरु प्रीतम प्यारा, मैं भूल गई नाम तुम्हारा। मेरा सतगुरु प्रीतम प्यारा, मैं भूल गई नाम तुम्हारा। तीन लोक का पिंजर गाड़ दिया कल ने जाल पसारा, तीन लोक का पिंजर गाड़ दिया कल ने जाल पसारा। पाप पुना की दलहत कदे मुझे जेली करके दाड़ शहनशाह, जेली करके दाड़। मेरा सतगुरु प्रीतम प्यारा, मैं भूल गई नाम तुम्हारा। मेरा सतगुरु प्रीतम प्यारा, मैं भूल गई नाम तुम्हारा। ताकड़ मंदिर पूजता पूजत जुग बीत गई खाए हजारा, ताकड़ मंदिर पूजता पूजत जुग बीत गई खाए हजारा। कोई खोजी हो तो जिंद राम से मिला दे बेटे गात में, राम हमार शहनशाह गात में राम हमारा। मेरा सतगुरु प्रीतम प्यारा, मैं भूल गई नाम तुम्हारा। मेरा सतगुरु प्रीतम प्यारा, मैं भूल गई नाम तुम्हारा। लाख चौरासी के बंधन में बंधे जीवा हमारा, लाख चौरासी के बंधन में बंधे जीवा हमारा। कर्म धर्म शुभ कर कर हरि में नालाई तीरथ सार, शहनशाह नाले तीरथ सारा। मेरा सतगुरु प्रीतम प्यारा, मैं भूल गई नाम तुम्हारा। मेरा सतगुरु प्रीतम प्यारा, मैं भूल गई नाम तुम्हारा। सत लोक उपदेश अलके अगे अनामी अगम अपारा, सात लोक ऊपर देश अलक अगे अनामी अगम अपार कहे मस्तन जी ले लो देवे अब आ गया वेद हमार शहनशाह आ गया वेद हमार मेरा सतगुरु प्रीतम प्यारा मैं भूल गई नाम तुम्हारा मेरा सतगुरु प्रीतम प्यारा मैं भूल गई नाम तुम्हारा
Above Satluk, there are the limitless regions of Alak, Anami, and Agam. Mastanaji says, take the medicine. Our doctor has arrived, O Emperor. O my dearly beloved Satguru, I have forgotten your name. May God bless us all.